or have an only expectation. Is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 444, the fifth stanza. Like as a father looketh with compassion upon his children, lo, in such a fashion. Fifth stanza, 444. Scriptures can be found in the Gospel of John, the fifth chapter. John chapter 5, the verses 25 through 47. Before 12 articles and after the Lord's Day 9 of the Heidelberg Catechism.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 5, starting at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Lord's Day 9, Question 26. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth? Answer. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, that we might have an impression that we stand before thee in awe. But thou hast given us three or four, two or three together in thy name. Thou art in the midst of them. Thy presence is there. With thy nature we don't know, we don't feel. We live as dead men on a dead soil. But by grace in Christ Jesus to be made thy children, we'll hear, like the Lord Jesus said of himself, the voice of his Father, doing the will of his Father, not his own will. Grant us that grace, Lord, that in Christ Jesus thou wilt be our eternal Father, almighty and faithful to thyself and thy church. That thou mayest open the scriptures unto us to believe. And we need the application of thy Spirit, otherwise it's a story. You speak about other man, but thy people have heard thy voice, and the Spirit testifies within them. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless thy word unto us. Remember the sick. We pray for those at homes or in institutions and old age homes. We pray, Lord, that thou would uphold them, but not only that. That if death is near, life might be near eternal. The end of strife, the end of struggle. The passing through the Jordan to the land of Canaan, a land flowing of milk and honey, where thou art glorified in glory. Lord, remember us all, prepare us to meet thee in peace, that thou mightest use the instruction of the doctrines of grace, like confessed in the Heidelberg Catechism, add of faith and to faith. Remember every one of us in particular needs, and we know that thou knowest them before they come even. And it was said to Peter that he would deny thee. But in providence thou hast already prayed for him, that he wouldn't lose his faith, because thou art faithful. Remember the world around us, work of mission in Montreal, in Malawi, in Suriname, or where they might be in South America, China, where it might be in the world, Lord. Thou art gathering thy people, and thou hast said it at the last days. That's the day of resurrection to the last day of this history, when time will go away and eternity will be known. An eternal state that was said, and we read it this afternoon, the resurrection of death to life, or the resurrection of sin and death to damnation. Ah, Lord, have mercy upon us, please. Have mercy upon us. For Christ's sake only. Amen. Congregation, we have dealt with Heidelberg Catechism, and the Lord's Day 7 speaks about faith in Christ. Why I say this, it's not faith promised, but faith in exercise. What is a true faith? Not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, will be given, no, is freely given. Remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits. Now when it has spoken about Christ, the Heidelberg Catechism, then it opens the doctrines of grace, the Trinity, in the Trinity explained. But the first of the Trinity is the Father. And if you know that Christ is mediator, by faith in Christ, he leads you to the Father. No one can come to the Father than by Christ. And no one can come to Christ by drawn by the Father. So you see now, in Elohim 9, it's spoken about the Creator, but especially about the Father in Christ of his adopted children. So Christ, the Father. And then providence. Fatherly care. Fatherly providence. There are some people who believe in providence, but not in the Father. Can be. First the Father. And then his providential care. Not providential faith outside of the knowledge of God the Father in Christ Jesus. Kohlberger said that's idolatry. Because it's not by faith. It's not by faith. Now that's the first thing I want to say. Then secondly, he is the Father in Christ. And we'll see it. Christ is the natural Son of God, according to his divine nature, but also to his human nature. Like Adam was Son of God. The image of the Father recreated. But my dear congregation, God's people are the adopted children of God by the Spirit of adoption. And the Spirit of adoption is the Spirit of Christ. And when the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, that Spirit cries in you, Abba, Father. People say that I'll cry. No, no. That Spirit cries in you and testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. It's proceeding from the Father through the Son. And we'll deal with it. And then you see that the Father brings even evil to you. The word originally is the paideia, the education. Like children need to be under education, under chastisement. Like Paul says it in Romans 8. And if you're not under that fatherly care, you're a bastard. He let you go. But if you're under the fatherly care, you're under his chastisement. And when it's pleasant, it's not pleasant. But afterwards, it has a fruit of holiness and righteousness to them that believe in him. We'll come to it. But first let's sing. 72:1-4, 72:1-4. congregation, what believest thou when thou sayest I believe in? And we have dealt with the word in. I don't believe God, I believe in the Father. Almighty maker of heaven and earth. But the catechism speaks here only as God the Father in Christ Jesus. Catechism doesn't speak about God the Father absolutus. Catechism speaks, and therefore I said, first, the Son, the knowledge of salvation in Christ, that the eternal Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So the Catechism speaks after the Lord, day 7, about the Father in Christ, the Father of Jesus Christ, who is also my Father, there it is. That's important. That speaks about redemption for the church, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. Some people speak about the Father absolutus. Absolutus is outside of Christ Jesus. It's a burning fire and a light in which you can't be for a little moment. But you see here, in Christ Jesus. What a difference. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that in them is. The Catechism fights that the creation is divine. God made the world not out of himself, but made it, created it, bara, out of nothing. Some people believe that you see God in creation, you don't see him. You see his works in creation, but not God. The heavens proclaim his glory. But New Age, that's a religion of the modern man, speaks about God in the trees and in the birds and in the animals. Nonsense. He created the world out of nothing. Some have said, what was God? God was in himself before he created the cosmos, the jewels of creation, to be loved, to be glorified by. And I can speak a lot about that. I heard even that people say today, that's a myth. That's a story. But evolution is a theory. Nonsense. Evolution is a myth. And creation is reality. He created. And some people have said in history time that God created the world and left it alone. And it seems to be, if you look to the world around you, that it's a time where God withdrew himself. And I'm not saying with all his people. But God created the world. The world in Adam fell in sin. But he upholds the world still. Do you know what it means, upholds? He holds his hand under it to sustain it until today. If God would take away his hands, we would become all to nothing. And he sustains you and me. if you would take his hand out of under your life, you wouldn't be anymore. God never forsakes his own works, for God cannot forsake himself. What a glorious gospel, that God forsakes not himself. He is faithful to himself, therefore he is faithful to his creation. It's his creation. It's not our creation. We are creatures. In the state of innocence, to glorify him, to live with him, to rest on him, to be ministered by him. But we didn't want to. But still he governs. Now, wonderful that the Catechism says, by his eternal counsel, God decides before he does. He promises before he performs. God is not a God that reacts. Some theologians say that God reacts. If there is a problem, God reacts. God, in his eternal good pleasure, rules this world, sustains it by providence and his eternal counsel. God acts, but not reacts. In everything, in all things of life. Therefore, Christ was crucified by the determined counsel and good pleasure of God. And I know when I say this, people will say to me, yeah, but man then. He acts for a purpose, but he acts in ways. The ways are elected too. Now let's give an example. He makes you to pray for health and he heals you. For he has promised. He makes you to pray. And after his promise, he heals you. You're not excluded, you're included in his providential and sustenance of this world. Anyone and everyone, especially for the children of God. But even Augustus had to obey the law of God that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. What a comfort, isn't it? That the world is not a planet somewhere in the universe. Purposely, having no purpose. Wandering around. God created the world for a purpose. And he sustains and is glorified by his own work. And not only the world. In a general sense, everyone, according to his eternal will. It's nice that the Catechism says governance. God reigns. Not Mr. Trump. Of the World Council of Churches, for the Pope in Rome, or Putin, or the devil, he doesn't rule. lost. His head is crushed. God rules. And it goes according to his sovereign will. In the world, we call a certain word Fatum. Have you heard about Fatum? Now, let me give an example of Fatum. They say, if I'm born for a quarter, I will never be a dollar. That's Fatum. The things, all things rule by themselves, causalistic. Yeah, Pastor, you're making it difficult. No, that's how the world thinks. Everyone is ruled by Fatum, and I can't escape that Fatum. If I'm born for a quarter, I will never be a dollar. What a poor religion. But we are not governed in this world by Satan or the devil, but by God. It's his world. It's his counsel. It's his good pleasure. What a comfort, isn't it? Yeah, what a comfort. That we are ruled by powers, but by God the Father, and I speak to the Christians in Christ Jesus governing a life for a purpose. Some have said, I have no purpose in life. I said, yeah, I have. That God might be your purpose. Do you know what sinning? Sinning is living without a purpose. Do you know what's grace? Living unto God. We have dealt with it this morning. It's grace. And that's not our power, not our destiny, not our will. In principle, it's God's will. He created the world and recreated his people for his own glory. That's it. Isn't that wonderful? It's not my plan, not my decisions, not my will, but God's will. Let thy will be done as it's in heaven, also on earth. And in general sense, it happens. Today there is no one too much in church, and there's no one that shouldn't be in church. Everyone who's in church is in church because of providential care of God. And I hope according to his good pleasure, for grace sake. But so is everything in our life. In the gentle, in the end. And providence, what's providence? Some have said God foresees it. He sees it on forehand. He knows what's going to happen. But it's more. He provides it before you need it. Not only sees it by his knowledge, but providence is, he provides it before you need it. Before you call, I will answer you. Isn't it? The word providence is clearly seen in Genesis 22. On the Mount of Moriah, on the mountain of God, there will be provision. God will provide his son on the mountain of God. What happened to Abram? He had to sacrifice his son, and we have dealt several times with it. But who was sacrificed? Isaac? No. Ishmael, like the Muslims say? No. Christ was sacrificed. Who was first on the mountain? Abram? Isaac? No, the Lamb. God provided it as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Therefore, Christ is crucified from the foundation, or even before the foundation of the world. Wonderful, isn't it? We always want to play a part in it. But God says, no part, it's my duty, it's my providence, it's my care, it's my love, it's my... Why? For the sake of Christ's Son. You remember that parable that the king made a meal, a marriage feast for his son. You can say for the sake of his son, because of his son. But I'm going even deeper. I'm saying, do you know why God does it? For his son, that his bride might be with him in a marriage feast. Therefore he does. Do you know that Christ, the second person of the Trinity, played with the children, the creatures, Adam and Eve? It was his pleasure. Therefore he became man, according to the will of God, that he would have a bride out of the lost sinners, redeemed, washed with his blood, covered with his righteousness, for the sake of his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that everyone that believes in him has in him and in the Father eternal life. And therefore, for the sake of his son, he is my God and Father. And congregation, now we come to something. How do I know that? Faith unites with the Son. It's faith in. He in me, and I in him. But if you are united with Christ, revealed to your soul, you receive the Spirit of Christ. Paul said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. And the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of the Son. Or I can say to you, that's the Spirit of adoption. God's people are adopted against their evil nature. The Spirit of adoption, we read it in Romans 8. The Spirit of adoption. Let's turn to the Scriptures, Romans 8, where we read together. And congregation, that's only to know by a true faith and by the sealing of the Spirit itself. We read in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. So if the Spirit of Christ by faith in him leads you, you're a child of God. That's first. He is the children's leader. For you have not received the spirit of bondage that slavery, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the Son, by which we are called the sons of God. No? Did you receive that spirit? Has he sealed, he, the third person of the Trinity, the spirit of the Father and the Son, has he sealed, assured your salvation? Then you receive the spirit of adoption to be an adopted child, not a natural child, an adopted child. And by that spirit, the spirit speaks, testifies. And by that spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The Lord Jesus says, my Father and your Father in Christ. Outside of Christ is God not your Father, but only your judge to fear. In congregation, that Spirit of Christ bears witness, gives a witness here. Do you know what I believe? I have some testimony here of those who know it. That Spirit beareth witness. That's a testimony. And what does that Spirit testify? It testifies with our spirit. Communion. That we will be, that we are the children of God. Isn't it great? And if you're a child, you're an heir and a co-heir with Jesus Christ. My dear congregation, some have said in theology that not everyone experiences it. Well, the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. So if you don't know these things spiritually, you don't belong to Christ. You can't have communion with Christ outside of the communion with the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. For He is the children's leader. He leads you in His own ways, spiritually, eternally, and in time. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And now continue. If so, that we suffer with Him. We may also be glorified with Him. For in the world, you will have many tribulations. If is not, yeah, it might be your mind. No, if is, this is what happens. Mary, child of God, you suffer for Him. No, listen, with Him. He suffers with you, and you suffer with Him. What a comfort, isn't it? Never been a child of God that suffers only by himself. In all your sufferings, he suffers. You're the apple of his eyes. If we suffer with him, he has a church under the cross. Glory comes. We are the sheep to slaughter. We are the church under the cross. Rome is the church of glory on earth. That's not true. You know where you find the church? When a man in the midst of the congregation has no friends than only dogs. Might be a true child of God. Despised, mocked, lambasted, denied. Say that he's a liar. Cursed one. Suffer like with him. Pastor, that cost me too much. Shh. If you don't suffer, you won't be glorified with him. You have to tread the paths of the Good Shepherd. And in the valley of death, you will know that he is near to you and leads you to glory. Let's sing. 378, no, 312, 1 and 6, 312, 1 and 6. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. And six, in my affliction is I found that human help deceived, but everlasting faithful was the Lord in whom my soul believed. 1 and 6, 3, 12. Does the Catechism speak clearly about faith? I was gone further even, but now I return to the question and the answer. In whom I rely so entirely. Faith is, the main thing of faith is trust. Trust, 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 trust. trust. Knowledge, sure. Assent, sure. But the main thing of faith is trust. Trust. With all your body, trust. And with all your misery, trust in Him. That's faith. But is that reality? On whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt. Now let's make first the one thing necessary to know. If you have really faith, in faith is no doubt. In you is doubt, but not in faith. You think that God gives faith? Half faith, quarter faith, 100 faith? God gives faith, and it's irreproachable. But when you doubt, it's your misery. Yeah, but your catechism says about faith, on whom I rely so entirely and have no doubt. The second thing I want to say about faith. Faith is not I believe in my faith. Some people, even in theology, say that you have to believe in your own faith. But reflection. Faith is always an act outside of yourself. Now, why does the Catechism, Ursinus and Olivianus, say with the Scriptures that I so entirely rely without doubt on Him? You know why? God is faithful. And again, faith doesn't look to yourself. Faith looks to God in Christ. And if you have faith in exercise, you entirely trust in Him without doubt. Looking outside of yourself to the Almighty God and Father and the faithful Father. See, if you would have to trust in me, forget it. We have sung already. But God is trustworthy, and if He works faith, He said, you can trust me. I told you last week, when I was a young guy, my parents lived in Amsterdam for a while, and my grandparents lived there still. And then I had to cross the Overtoom. That's a very busy road. And I stood there at the sidewalk. Didn't dare. Father said to me, he says, boy, give me your hand. And I put my little fist in his big hand. And I didn't look to the traffic anymore. Now that's faith. I trusted in the difficulties in my God. That's true faith. But in temporal things, I trusted in the care of my Father. Isn't it wonderful? And I didn't care for all the cars and all the traffic and all. That's great. That's faith and exercise. That's truth to be trusted. God is truth, faithful, and almighty. And I tell you this, if you're the child of God, you're brought many times in heavy traffic. You don't have to cross the street. There are times in your life you don't even to put a step further. And then you look to man to help you, and God says, don't help him. Voila. Nay, don't help him. No, don't help. Why not? No. He should trust in me. In me alone. God is jealous. The Father is jealous. Would you like it if your children would go to the neighbor for a new uniform or shoes? Would you like it? God doesn't like it. It's not his good pleasure not to care for you. It's his good pleasure to care for time and eternity for your soul. So trust is in the trustworthy God Almighty and faithful. He withdrew all the friends of David. All the people who admired him. And as a Veltun, I don't know what's a Veltun, but a little bird, he was on the hills of Judah. Having no friend anymore, but God provided his good pleasure unto him and saved him, brought him back. When he had to cross the Jordan, even his son betrayed him, took his wife publicly, wanted to kill him. And he said to Simi, it's my own fault, curse me. God has said, curse him. I'm curse worthy. And there he went. Some old friends. Was he left alone? He turned to Jerusalem. It's his suffering and raising again is an example of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Joseph, oh, what a boy. What a dream. The eye apple of his father. In the original language said it was a young boy with gray hair. That old Jacob could talk with him alone. What a boy. Nice rope. Ooh. Is it. Lord says, wait a moment. You're not it. I'm him. I'm. We were sold as a slave. Brought in prison. And we have dealt with this some weeks. And yet, sit in prison after Potiphar's wife accused him for 3 years. And do you know what he says in the original language? His prison became a sepulcher. He says, over is it. my dear congregation, please, do you know these things? When he said, over is it, God started and gave Pharaoh dream, and he was taken from jail to the second in Egypt, but not by himself. God turned evil to good. And now I speak to the children of God. You have been in many tribulations, and tell me, has God ever turned the evil to good for you? He did. And when you're a child of God, you're exercised in it. David said it. He says, I fought with the lion and the bear.
And this Goliath is nothing in the eyes of God. He has experience in it, that God turned the evil to good. That's exercise. That's experimental faith. May I ask you, child of God, has God ever forsaken you? Have you forsaken? Has he forsaken you? How many times did he turn the evil which he sent to you to try you, to educate you into good? The congregation, that's in Hebrews 12, it's also in Deuteronomy 8. See, I've said many times to you, if it's not in the Old Testament, it's not in the New. For Christ is the words of the Father. He doesn't speak his own word, even on the cross. He dealt the Psalm 22, with Deuteronomy 8. Now Moses has spoken about the desert and about the afflictions in the desert. For thou art a holy people. And in 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord thy God chastiseth thee. The Lord Jesus, and even Paul, when he speaks about it in Hebrews, he speaks about, now what did God? He leads them, and he fed them with manna to see if they would believe him. And congregation, in the desert you can plow, you can sow, you can work. There is no leather for your shoes, and no linen for your clothes. God has led them for 40 years in the desert. Do you know why? To feed them with faithfulness. And even when they murmured, manna was there any and every morning. He led them in the wilderness and he said, now it's over, we are dying. In Egypt we had meat. Lord said, wait a moment, I'll bring you murmuring people meat. And a lot of birds came and they killed them. And he ate even too much, and God punished them. Yeah, but Pastor, if I have to walk for 40 years on my shoes, I need a shoe shop in the desert. God says, no shoe shop in the desert. No, no, no. After 40 years, the soles were the same leather. And the clothes were not torn apart. Hey, do you know what I? Do you know why you're sitting here? Some laugh at me and say, that can be true. I believe it's true. God is almighty and faithful. And he doesn't lead you in the desert to be killed. But in the desert he tries your faith, that you might believe him when you're coming in the land of Canaan. Have an eternal peace. God tries you always in opposite ways. When you think, now it's going well, it's going wrong. And when you think, now it's going wrong, it's going well. He turns evil into good, that you might trust him for time. He turns your sin into righteousness in Christ Jesus, that you might inherit eternal life. Hey, do you know what's in my heart now? For this God is our God. For this God is
my God, oh God, give me to trust thee when people leave me, when they deny me, when they mock and slander me. Be near to me, for thou art almighty and faithful to thy own church and children. And if you don't have these antagonisms and strife in your life, you're not a child of God. You're not. You're a bastard. A bastard. And God says, I don't want to have to do with you anything. Go tell. Pastor, be not so rude. No, I'm not rude. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, children of God, and I know some are, attacked and slandered and left alone. God is almighty and faithful. And once he will turn the evil to good, that you won't say, I did it. I make myself king. David would never say it. And I stayed on the throne by myself. He would never say it. When his last breath was gone in Psalm 80, he says, the way of the Lord is perfect. The way of the Lord is perfect. In all my trials, he has been with me and leaded me through the paths of the desert to eternal salvation. Ah, my dear congregation. And he will make whatever evils he sends. He sends, eh? To try, eh? Upon me in this valley of tears. The world is a valley of tears. A valley of tears. Some cry about the loss of themselves. But there is a special people that cry about sins in this valley of tears because they sometimes distrust their Lord. At the end, the Bible says he will take all the tears from your eyes. And you will see in Christ, the Almighty and Faithful God. And he turns all the evil to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being an Almighty God. And is also willing. Willing. Being a faithful father. And I say it again, for this God is our God. This God is it? Is there a testimony in your heart? Do you believe that he leads you through the desert to the promised land flowing of milk and honey, to a city which you didn't build, to a place that's surprising your soul for everlasting glory in Christ Jesus? Oh God, give us to believe in thee. Without doubt, trusting. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word and the doctrines of grace, and I hope, Lord, that I believe even that you are people that were sent in the desert and they can't help themselves anymore. It's coming to an end. They have trusted here and they have trusted there and they have found a help such and they found a help so and forsaken by man. But that's the hour of grace. not forsaken by thee. Lord, have mercy upon us, please. Forgive our sins and our distrust. That's our unbelief. That's not what thou hast given us, unbelief. That's always trials. And say, where is God? And Lord, forgive me that I murmured so much in the desert for 40 years in my ministry. But although I murmured, thou hast been faithful to this very moment. And I believe I'm joined here with those who know these things. That when all help is gone, thou art our helper in need. Give us to know these things personally, that they may glorify thee for thy own name's sake. We ask it. In his name, the name of thy dear Son, by whose Spirit we are made adopted children. If we are a Christian, if not, bastards. Oh, Lord, keep us not to be a bastard. Deal with us, please. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing lastly 416, the seventh stanza. 416, the seventh stanza, where we will sing together. Oh, my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted me, hoping God, thy faith retrieving? I will see thy refuge be, still thy refuge be. The seventh stanza of 416. he may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.